This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live here, 11th floor, Odyssey Radio Tower, with a brand new, fresh week of everyone back together. Well, kinda. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, Peyton on jury duty today.
Jury duty, yeah. He's doing his John Cusack impression today. Runaway Jury.
Which good movie. If there's anybody in this building that would get picked for jury duty, it would be Peyton. Like, I'm being honest. If I needed just like 12 people that I know to be on my jury and give me, like, I feel like a fair shot and really listen to everything, I do feel like Peyton would be one of those 12.
You would want him to be.
Yes, I would want him to be. And I think that's the thing. I think he's going to get into this questioning pool. He's going to do nothing to disqualify himself. And both sides are going to go like, yeah, that's a generally fair dude. Let's throw him on the jury.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes the thought process of Peyton would scare me in determining my fate.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
You know?
Big time.
Someone wears the wrong color or someone does something here and there. I'd be pretty scared.
Or if the prosecutor says, you know, in the closing statements, or the defense attorney says, you know, remember in the OJ trial, and Peyton has no idea who that is. He can't reference that. Yeah, he can't reference the precedent.
Honestly, anybody whoever talks to him most recently will win.
Yeah.
Because, like, the defense attorney, he'll hear the prosecution, he'll be like, that's a good point. Then he'll hear the defense attorney, he'll go like, well, that's a good point too. And then there will be no rebuttal.
You don't think he could get swayed, someone being like, I think you need more payload. And he's like, triple murder, whatever. Only three people lost their lives. You're good.
He sounded like he wanted to get picked. He sounded like he genuinely wanted to be on there.
Does he know the case? Did he try to get out of it?
I don't know that he tried.
It didn't sound like it.
Prior to, no.
And it doesn't sound like he's going to try.
And do we know the case?
No. So he's just going in for pool questioning. So basically he's there with probably like 5,000 other people today, and they'll need jurors for, I don't know, however many cases they have on the docket, and then...
All right, so he's not picked on a jury.
He's going in to see. Right. Yeah, this is that general day. Yeah, just the day.
I always get too far. Like, three different times I've actually gotten into the room for questioning about whether you're going to get selected or not.
God, I don't want to sit in those chairs.
No, you don't. No. You don't want to sit there. No.
He would like it.
He would love it.
I would eat it up.
He would love it. And he's probably going to be the foreman or something. And then he'll come back and be like, I got payload for the next 4 weeks.
All right. Paternity leave is officially over. So no more on again, off again. Maybe I'll see you guys at a firehouse once. But
how was Ava's graduation?
Yeah, that's right. It's going to suck working 5 days again.
That's okay. Vacation season's right around the corner.
That's right.
So we'll be all right.
We go from July All-Star break. Are we going June now? What's usually the sports talk vacay week is baseball All-Star week.
Yeah, baseball All-Star week is generally the one that a lot of people take.
Yeah, I typically take, I can comfortably usually take vacation in January, mid to late January, because I know the Cowboys have been bounced.
Stop it.
So, typically that's been true for the last 30 years. But, I'd say probably June, July is the next target area.
What Spittle will really love to hear in the meeting afterwards is that we're pregnant again.
Wait, are you?
Are you?
Hell no.
I don't know. That seemed like an announcement.
I know you got snip, but you never know. Those things don't always take.
Yeah, Chiafalo took care of that for me. So good to be back. Glad you are with us. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend. The Texas Rangers are making some changes.
2-2. Adolis swings, hits one on the ground towards the middle. Through to center field, a base hit. Seager scores. Around comes Semien. He scores standing up. Heim goes first to third. Two-run single, Adolis Garcia. Five-run inning for the Rangers. They lead 5-1.
Five runs, like matching what they've done.
Yeah.
In however many games, I think it was 2 weeks in which they scored like two or more runs. Like,
yeah, they went like, I think they went like 12.
Two times.
12 of 16 without scoring more than three runs. It was just a terrible stretch of offense that, you know, they've come in spurts. You know, they had 15 runs on Wednesday or Tuesday, and then they did this outburst yesterday for the guy that didn't need it. The guy that doesn't need the runs, DeGrom, is the one that's getting all the runs.
This outburst of 11 singles on their 12 hits. They get one triple, they get 11 singles. This has been their thing lately, is that they'll either do nothing, they'll get three hits, but if they do break out, quote-unquote, they'll get Look at 9 hits in a game, and all of them are singles.
They had lost 7 of 8. You had DeGrom on the mound, as RJ said, and they decided to go ahead and score 6 runs on 6 singles and 2 walks in the 3rd inning. That's game, as they avoid being swept by the Seattle Mariners. Well, then the news comes out afterwards that they have fired their hitting coach, Donnie Ecker. Rangers entering yesterday with the 2nd fewest runs scored in baseball, 18 and 18, despite having the 4th best ERA in the American League. I think it made it 17 and 18 after the win yesterday. So 4th best ERA in the American League. The offense sucks, and now the hitting coach has to go. I always wonder, amongst the assistant coaches in sports, if the hitting instructor actually has the least amount of responsibility. You know, defensive coordinator, football, offensive coordinator, football, more. Even, you know, a Sean Sweeney on the Mavericks, who is up for head coaching opportunities, I think, with Phoenix. You're drawing up scheme. Well, a lot of these guys have, as you know, Choppy, their own batting coaches. They have their own personal hitting instructors. Is this a move, a Texas Sandler, I said, is this a move just for headlines to try to shake things up however it can in the clubhouse, or will this actually matter to some degree?
When did they start calling hitting coaches offensive coordinators, by the way?
Right around the time when colleges named these assistant GMs, general managers. Yeah,
because I saw the headlines, like, offensive coordinator. I was like, offensive coordinator, is he calling plays? What are we doing?
So
he's a hitting coach. They call him. They call Mike Maddox the defensive coordinator. Yeah.
I think there are teams in baseball right now who have both, and so that's the thing. He was being called both. It's definitely come with the analytics push. Like, with the whole analytics push, it's changed from just being, I think it's partially hitting coach is the one actually dealing with you swinging the bat, and then the offensive coordinator a lot of times is dealing with approach and a lot of the analytical numbers and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the a lot of times these moves are window dressing. It's a move to make a move, shake things up, different voice, different approach to the plate. But like you said, how many of these guys have their own hitting coach anyway, their own swing coach? They all do. Not all of them, but a lot of them have a guy that they lean on. So it may not be somebody that you talk to every day. Could be a dad, could be a coach from high school, college, but it's somebody they can get on the phone, or when they travel to, let's say they travel to
whoever's throwing to them in the home run derby.
Whoever's throwing the home run derby. But, you know, let's say, you know, your next road trip is, you're from Atlanta, and that's where your road trip is, and that's where your hitting coach from when you were in high school was. You might go to him on that road trip. I know when a lot of pitchers who went to Bassick's dad, they'll come into town to play the Rangers, and their pitcher, they'll go to him during the time that they're here. So I don't know what it really does.
Yeah.
It's just a move.
What I got back from Sandler is, in many cases, we didn't specifically talk about Donnie a ton. You're getting an analytics and information overload.
Yeah.
So, hey, here's 14 pieces of paper. I'm talking generally now. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and study these, and then you have someone. It comes down to thinking versus just reacting.
Your launch angle's here. Your barrel rate is this. You're swinging too much at the pitch. It's low and outside where that's your cold zone. You know, it's an overload.
Yeah, I mean, that was the Josh Hamilton problem when they made I'm specifically talking about hitting coaches, when they made the move to Clint Hurdle, was they said they felt like it was basically too much information. You're trying to clean up his swing, take his toe tap out, do a bunch of different things like that. That was about 09. And 09 was a brutal year for him, changed up his stance completely. They brought Clint Hurdle in, and Hurdle's big thing was just clean it up. He was fine. Like, just have him go back to doing what he was doing, stop giving him extra stuff that is unnecessary. The dude's a monster. Just let him do that. And then he wins the MVP with Clint Hurdle.
That's got to take a lot of, like, security as a hitting coach, because you want to work, get numbers, information, versus the security. Someone like Clint Hurdle, a lot of skins on the wall, where you're like, look, I don't have to do too much.
Right.
You have the swing. It'll naturally just come out. So overactivity versus just sitting back with the appearance of, hey, man, are you doing anything?
Right. Like, you know, you see guys like, you know, Seager changed his batting stance this year a little bit. You know, he's a little bit more open. And it's like, I mean, I don't know, like, you're Corey Seager. You've got 2 World Series MVPs. Why would you change anything?
Yeah.
But guys change for a lot of reasons. Just a comfort to see the ball better. They're getting older. Who knows?
And the big Rangers question that we've been asking for the longest time now, even though you're, what, 35 games in, is this what they are, or are they underachieving? Are they capable of much more? And we're still trying to go ahead and figure that out.
Man, I think when you see Wyatt Langford, you see how hard Adolis has been hitting the ball consistently. The
Josh
fact
Smith,
that
four hits.
Corey Seager's come back into the lineup now. Like, you see all those things. There's no – whether they're good enough is enough of a question. There's zero chance they should be first in baseball in one run or fewer games. They have 11 games so far. That's one out of every three games, basically. They're scoring a run or nothing.
Oh.
And that's – no matter how much they
one run or less in four straight home games, that's the second longest streak in franchise history.
Yeah, before that got snapped yesterday when they beat Seattle. And so when you look at the way that they've performed offensively this year, it's like, yeah, okay, how big are the margins that they can potentially catch up to? They may not be as big as you want, but there's enough that you can't just accept what you've gotten so far. There's zero chance that they should have these issues of like week-long stretches without hitting home runs.
Also, bye-bye to Leody Taveras. Outright waivers, according to Ken Rosenthal. Any team that claimed him would assume the balance of the $4.75 million salary. So CY saying no more Leody.
Yeah, and I wonder who's going to take on the salary. Like, that's a big question, you know, if somebody's going to take it on. If nobody does... you know, then he comes back here. You know, if they want him to, and they could actually send him to the minors at that point.
Well, they tried to work out a deal, obviously found no takers.
Yeah, and this has been, I mean, like Choppy said, this has happened before where a guy can be put on outright waivers and then boomerang back to the organization because everybody's like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Wasn't Manny put on outright waivers before he got traded or before the
irrevocable waivers
years? Yeah, and so I mean this has happened before, but yeah, I would assume somebody will look at Leody, say, oh, the upside, the defense, sure, we'll take a gamble. I would imagine somebody scoops him up.
So day off today before the Massholes and the Red Sox tomorrow, right here on this radio station, your home for Rangers baseball with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. The Dallas Stars have their round two opponent. We'll get to that coming up at 6:20, but another game seven last night.
Out to Buddy Hield, and he is just not missing in Houston. Buddy Hield has the liftoff here. The Warriors lead by 10, 80-70. Hield is 7 of 9 from 3. He's got 25 points.
God, I forgot that guy's voice.
Tim Roy, all right.
How could you forget?
That was not enjoyable. Buddy Hield, 12 of 15 from the field, 9 of 11 from 3, and the Warriors go into the armpit and end the season of the Houston Rockets 103-89.
Good, let's get rid of all the teams that don't matter.
Like, yeah.
Houston, Cleveland. Let's get rid of Cleveland.
You throwing OKC in there?
No. They're good. They're a real good team. Houston might be one of those teams that was like, you know, they tried during the regular season when nobody else does.
Houston will be good.
Yes,
Houston will be good down the road
after they get Durant.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually, they won't be good if they get Durant.
They'll be good after they grow a little bit more. That's still a really young team, but. Yeah, I mean, this is, I was really kind of hoping for just the Golden State collapse. I was really rooting for a potential just complete meltdown, 3-1. We were at the firehouse last Wednesday in Anna with Nick Harris, and Nick had to leave right at 8 because he was taking the car down to Houston. He was going for game 5 to see Jimmy Butler close it out, and I was really hoping those would be famous last words, and we could just say, you know, this is the Nick Harris jinx. But ultimately, Warriors put it together.
I've loved the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
It has been so fun. Denver Clippers go 7. Denver takes them out. You have the Luka Doncic drama 4-1 with the Wolves. Warriors Rockets 7. Cavs Heat was absolutely awful. Pacers Bucks was fun. Knicks Pistons was a blast. Celtics Magic wasn't anything great, but now you're setting up for the Cavaliers and the Pacers. How about that game one yesterday? Knicks Celtics, the 3 versus the 2, Denver OKC, and Minnesota versus Golden State, Ant versus Draymond.
Look, for a league that has dealt with a lot of criticism about the quality of their play and everything else, you're right. The playoffs have been really good for them.
Yes.
The playoffs have been a big boost for the NBA so far. The one thing they probably wish they could change is they wish Minnesota LA was more competitive. Because, right? I mean, I don't think you're going to complain necessarily about Ant advancing because the league has made him such a priority. But yeah, I would imagine you would have liked the LeBron Luka LA tie-in to go further.
We know someone who is advancing. Your Dallas Stars. Forget Nico. We got Miko, and we have a second round opponent after game 7 in the NHL last night. We'll set you up for it with a Dallas Stars celebration next.
I think it prepares us for it because it's only going to get harder. You know, obviously, I think how the standings goes, and sometimes really good teams play in the first round even though maybe they shouldn't, but you know, I think it prepares us well, and now we already have a 7-game series, so we know if another one comes what to do.
And after the year you've had, what's the most satisfying part about this?
Just to win the series, you know, and you know, this team has been so close a couple years in a row, and you know, hopefully I can help them get even closer.
Congratulations, Kitos.
Thank you very much.
Will you remember where you were on Saturday night when Mikko took over?
I am he!
The sports world. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby back together again here on DFW Sports Station. The Dallas Stars trailing by 2 at the AAC, and then blackout.
Yeah, literally blackout. That was one of the great local events that we've had in a long time. If you were lucky enough to be at that game, I could only, it was a scene. It was a scene. Dead in the water. The Stars had nothing going. They had absolutely nothing working for them. And then Mikko was like, all right, you know what? I better earn this paycheck here. I'm gonna do the same thing I did the night before, the game before. Get 4 points in the final period. And let's just go from here. And he was tremendous. The floodgates opened. The place was electric. Call up K-Post. You're gonna need a new roof on that building, like, immediately after they blew that thing off.
One assist through the first 4 games. Responds with a 3-point performance in game 5, a 4-point showing in game 6, and then having a hand in each goal on Saturday. Pete DeBoer, now a 9-0 game 7 record. The Avalanche are the first team in baseball, basketball, and hockey history to lose 7 consecutive game 7s.
Yeah, DeBoer can't lose game 7s, and Bednar can't win them.
And specifically, Colorado can't beat Dallas in Game 7s. This is, what, 5 straight they've lost to the Stars? Four or five straight that they've lost Game 7s to the Stars. So, no, I mean, look, you don't have to understand hockey or be an expert or anything else to watch that third period on Saturday night and, like, recognize that was somebody just dominant, like, such a difference maker in their sport taking over. And it was one of the more, I mean, again, as a novice, it's, that final 13 minutes, the way that Mikko played, it's like, I'm trying to think of stuff that's similar to it in the history of Dallas sports in the postseason, where somebody just, it's probably one of Dirk's playoff games, like where he drops 48 on the Thunder.
One of the road games, I think, was it game 2 against the Heat in 11? He just took over the final, like,
the final few 6 minutes or whatever it was. Something like that. Similar, probably closest to that game 2 against the Heat, where he just takes over and he gets the layup and wins on the road. That's probably the closest, but this is way up there.
First NHL player ever to record a third period hat trick in a game 7, get a game 7 hat trick against his former team, have 4-point periods in back-to-back games, drop a 4-point game 7 on a former team, total 10 or more points across games 5 through 7 in one series.
It's just tremendous. And, you know, you forget, like, yeah, because we think we got him from Carolina, but Colorado had him at the beginning of the year, and they got rid of him. And one of the guys they got in the trade back for him committed that penalty with, like, 5-ish to go. That was Drury. That was one of the guys they got for him. So,
and what did you think of the penalty?
The Stars got it, so I loved it. But if I was watching any other game and there was a game 7 penalty with 5 minutes to go in a tie game, I mean, there's no blood. You've got to swallow the whistle. You can't call a penalty. That's the rule. But if it happens to your team, then you don't care. Yeah. But if I was just watching that game, I'd be like, oh, no, no, no.
I don't know. Again, I watch hockey at such a basic level, so I lean on other people for things like that. And everything I read, all the conversation I heard, everybody said, like, that is legitimately 100% of the time a penalty.
It's legitimately 100% of the time a penalty.
And it's something except that Colorado was doing, apparently, pretty frequently throughout the series, was right off the face-offs, same sort of thing.
Colorado got away with about 3 penalties in the third as it is. They got away with a lot. They got away with 2 other trippings. It's just, you don't see it. You just don't see it. You don't see a Game 7 penalty with 5 to go that isn't like a delay a game. Like, we saw that last night in the Jets game. There was a delay game in overtime, hit the puck out, and obviously that's a clear penalty. But if I remember, that was the only one they called in the 2 overtimes. So that was just one of those, like, you got to call it. You just don't see it. Even the announcer was like, back in my day, anything under 10 minutes in a game 7, there was never a penalty called, and now it's just it's a different game now.
Pete DeBoer was asked afterwards, is this exactly what you envisioned when you made the big move?
Well, you know what, he took over, let's be honest, he took over the series, you know, the last three, four games. You know, he just decided that, you know, that we were not going to go home, you know, and we were not going to lose. And I think it started then. But, I mean, that what you witnessed there was special. I mean, you know, this is the best league in the world against one of the top five teams in the world. And, you know, what he did there down the stretch was special.
This is what you dream of when you make a move like this. Mm-hmm. This is Charles Haley. This is Deion Sanders. Yep. This is immediate impact. Bam, right there. This is why you trade for someone in this moment, in this spot. All the cliches that are thrown out there. Luka, they would have liked that in Los Angeles. More on that later. Mm-hmm. But here you go. A guy against his former team advancing you to round two.
He was the difference maker. Like in the final three games, when this was anybody's series, and in the final three games, he was the best player on the ice.
Yeah, a lot of the comparisons you just brought up there, it reminded me most probably of the Cliff Lee trade, where when you go get Cliff Lee and then you get into the postseason and it's the Yankees who wanted Cliff Lee at the deadline, you got him a couple weeks before the deadline, you got him, but he goes out there and then he strikes out 13 in the ALCS and just shuts him down. Like, that was the same sort of feel to me, but this is still, again, it's very unique. It's a team that didn't want to pay Mikko Rantanen what he ended up getting. It's a team that decided, nope, we'd rather trade to get something for you. It's a you know, against a big time historic rival for the Avalanche in the Stars. And so to me, it's there's so much poetry here. And that second goal, that game tying goal, the one where he splits three defenders and goes behind the net and off the skate, it was ridiculous.
I had to watch it five times to realize where it went in.
Yeah.
I was like, did he get that initially? Did he wrap around? Did he deflect it off someone? I could not tell.
Yeah,
when the puck actually went in,
until you see the slow mo. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it was. It was a great play, and then, you know, but you got to have sometimes you got to have guys there. You got to have the redirect off your own jersey from Game 6, right? And then now you got to have the one off the other guy's skate.
I mean, that's still though, that didn't even feel. I mean, the bouncing off your own jersey, the own goal felt way more fluky than that. Because like I said, that was Rantanen mm-hmm. just. Going the length of the ice, splitting right. three people and wrapping around. And it looked almost, not quite intentionally, but it was close enough that I think that's mainly 90% skill.
I like what Sad Yosef tweeted. The Stars just beat the Avalanche with their best player not playing 1 second. Their leading goal scorer not playing 1 second. They trailed 2-0 about midway through the final period of game 7. When you sit there and think about what they were missing, and DeBoer saying, yeah, our two guys, I don't know when, but we are getting help coming back.
They're getting them help. And now, look, it's you're going to go face the team that won the President's Cup, and that's the President's Trophy. And now you have the curse, the President's curse.
Pionk walks the line, wristed through traffic. He scores! Deflected in front by the captain, Adam Lowry. Jets win! Jets win! Jets win! And double overtime!
Wow, Westwood won with the call, and now it is Winnipeg who took 3 of 4 from you during the regular season.
It's loser peg, all right? With the biggest loser in sports, Connor Hellebuck, the goalie. This guy's a loser.
Why?
Because he's soft.
He was soft.
He can win the Vezina all he wants.
ESPN having him as the number one player heading into the playoffs.
He's a loser. The guy, he got pulled. What kind of great goalie gets pulled 3 times in a playoff series? He should have gotten pulled last night. He is a loser. Stars at 4. Stars at 4.
Easy. Last guy who's made a proclamation like that had sex tapes released, which you probably wouldn't mind, but that was Shannon Sharp, Lakers in 5. Here's a clip that has Choppy all worked up.
Well, you don't love giving up that many goals, but we're 2-2 in the series. You know, that's all that matters, winning the next one. Am I going to be better? I am going to be better. I've studied goaltending extremely hard, I've probably studied the most out of anyone in this world. So I know what to do and how to get my best game. So that's what I'm looking forward to do. And, you know, I got to get 2 days here and, you know, time to bring it in game 5.
All right, Donald.
I probably studied the most out of anybody in this world.
Oh, really? Oh, good. You work hard. Cool. You suck. All right, and you're going to get destroyed in this series. He can't win a game on the road. He can't. He's going to get pulled. He's going to get pulled three times in this series, too. Stars at four.
I love this. This is not the RJ Choppy I'm used to. This sounds like me talking about Scataboo or Dan Orlovsky or something like that. I love the RJ Choppy hate.
This is the guy that is going to, he might actually single-handedly change my viewpoint on choking in postseason. This guy might actually do it because this is all he does. All this guy does is gag.
Okay, if I'm looking for a comparison then, like David Price, when he was at his peak and he was always so awesome, then he gets to the postseason, he was just terrible.
He's like Rick Ankiel.
Yeah, oh, that's even worse. Yeah,
Chuck Knobloch. somebody with the yips.
So FanDuel has thrown this out. I think Colorado was the slight favorite over the Stars heading in. Winnipeg is plus 140. The Dallas Stars are your favorite at minus 166.
Barely.
Right,
that's decent.
Is it?
Yeah, that's decent. That's probably like 58%.
Implied odds, 58%.
Probably about 50. I would assume a 58%. Just -200 is 66.
Look, right? I'm not gonna fact check you. I have no
idea. Yeah, I don't know. You're looking at us like right? Sure. If you say so.
That's K-Twiz with the Stars math. So favorite over the Jets.
Favorite over the Jets. And look, I mean, Winnipeg had a much better year. Like not a much better year. They had the best year, you know, in the league. Stars were very, very close. They had a chance down the stretch to, you know, put themselves in a position where they could get the overall one seed. It would have been nice to have had home ice advantage if St. Louis won. But, you know, I don't know, man. Jordan Binnington will steal a game or two from you. And I think Hellebuck will give you a game or two. So give it to me.
And game one, start time.
Let's see. 8:48.
Yep.
Of course.
Same exact. I was like, Winnipeg, did we get a time something?
Isn't Winnipeg like north of Minnesota? What do the people in the New York offices have an atlas?
What is going on?
Does anyone have a map?
Man.
I don't know. Apparently it's just we're the closest ones typically to the West Coast time. Like they're just not gonna throw anybody on the East Coast over there. And there's so many East Coast teams that they're just not going to put on at 8 o'clock at night.
It's just all of the NHL Eastern Conference in the Eastern time zone, and then everybody else, they just assume, oh, if you're on the Eastern time zone, if you're west of Kentucky, you're in the Pacific Coast.
Let us know if you were at the game and whether you're going to the next series against the Jets that kicks off in just a few days. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Are you allowed to bring pet snakes to a kid's park and be careful of flying poop on your hood this morning? The craziness of the weekend. Let us know what you're up to as well. Sean and RJ, just getting started. Back together on The Fan. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, it is. Plans?
Will there be a chips and guac in your near future?
You know, we had Mexican food twice over the weekend, and I could have done it three times. I really could have. I don't know if I could do another one. You know, today I feel a little fluffy this morning, but because we had an incident at the house last night.
Oh,
everybody, my front yard. I was going to mow the lawn after the baseball game. And I almost mowed around him. There was some lady had a medical issue in our neighborhood. I don't know. They found her in the creek bed behind the house.
Found her in the creek bed.
Creek bed, yes. Yeah. The kids like were down there, and it's not safe down. There's coyotes, snakes, and everything. And it's like an Army Corps of Engineers property. They find her. They bring her. Of course, they bring her to my front yard.
Were your kids back there?
No, my kids were at home. So we had just got back from baseball, and I see.
Yeah, how'd she end up at your house?
I guess I was like the closest house to the creek bed, right? It's on the corner, and I see like fire trucks there. I'm like, what is going on here? And there's like a bunch of people on my front yard, like, and there's a stretcher. I'm like, oh boy. I was like, I'm getting sued. Right. But no, it was just she had fallen ill, I guess, and there was some kind of a medical issue, and I didn't get a chance to mow my lawn. So,
you were trying to mow at that time.
I was going to mow at that time. I was like, do you think I can just go around them? Well, I didn't want to do that. I mean,
finish up the rest later.
Obviously, I'm joking, but so I have to mow today. So, no, we're probably not going to get out today.
Bobby, is your wife making her famous salsa? Apparently, Kristen makes this famous salsa that our boss wants to buy bottles of.
She's already got some salsa saved there. This is actually, Cinco de Mayo is actually a different day in our family. It's my dad's birthday. So that's what typically gets our attention on May 5th is my dad's birthday. But
what are you doing for it?
Nothing today. Probably something over the weekend, I would guess.
Where does he live?
Farmer's Branch. Yeah. So he, today's his birthday.
We got to get old Bob Sr.
Oh, gosh.
Out to an event.
He is, he's turning 63 today. So, happy birthday, Dad. But yeah, we got the salsa already ready at the house made. She's got like six jars because she just keeps it ready. Jealous. But yeah.
Does your dad listen to the show ever? You've never talked about his thoughts on the show.
Yeah. He pops in. He doesn't listen consistently. He just doesn't listen to a lot of
segments.
No, a lot of radio in general anymore, even though he's like been in the business for 40 years. So he'll pop in and he'll randomly call me and say something he heard or something like that.
All right, Choppy had an incident in the front yard. Bobby, we had a youth baseball incident to get to.
Yeah, this is one for Choppy really to determine for us, I think. And I don't think you're going to be glad that I go to you for the ruling on this story, Chop.
Okay.
But out in the Bay Area, parents in West Contra Costa, which one is it in California? Contra Costa? I'm going to say Contra Costa Unified are calling on the league to act because there was a racist incident involving two teams that were playing high school baseball. So, in this instance...
High school baseball.
Albany High School parents said players from Pinole Valley High School hurled racial slurs at one of their players, specifically targeting players of Asian descent. They were saying things while he was warming up, like, P.F. Chang, is that you? He can't see through those eyes. Just various, like, really aggressive racial...
Jeez, Bobby.
Trolling. Don't say Bobby like I just said it.
Save that, Ross. We'll put in kegger.
All that to say, the coach.
Did you miss me, Chopper?
I did. The baseball coach from the offending team called a few days later after this kind of blew up and apologized for the player behavior. But now some are asking or demanding the parents on the other team are basically demanding that their season should be ended. That their season should be just forfeit the rest of the season over this incident. Have you guys ever had an instance in any of your baseball leagues or anything else where somebody got punished with a full season forfeit, like basically just full season
forfeit? Not that I could think of.
And what's the line of dugout trash talk? Where can it go? Where does it go? And how far can it go? High school.
I'm not in the dugout anymore. And I don't really hear what they're saying in the dugout. Back when they were like, 13, it wasn't that. Kids don't trash talk the way we did back then. We were vile. We would say stuff that would like nowadays would get you in trouble. That's just the way it was back then. And now it's just not that way. And it's for the better. It's for the better that it's not that way. But
create a softer society.
It does create a softer society, maybe. But
Book of Snaps, my Book of Shams. Amanda dies over that. You don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
Not a clue.
There's something called the Book of Bobby. You should actually order it. I can see you ordering it right now.
Let me see.
And it's just a book of insults.
Yeah.
So today, if I want to go with your mama jokes or you're so fat jokes, I got all my different chapters, the Book of Snaps. So when I say, we're shamming on each other, Amanda rolls her eyes and dies laughing with how cheesy and lame that is. But it's literally books of insults. And I think there were different versions and additions you could get.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the one that's available on Amazon. And the one joke that's listed on the front is, if ugliness were bricks, your mama would be a housing project. So those are the kind of 1992 jokes you're getting from this book. But
I've seen coaches get banned and thrown out of games.
That's the thing.
Players or teams.
If it's like, let's say it's, and I have no idea. It doesn't say that it was the whole team. Doesn't also say that it was just one kid. It makes it sound like it was several players from the opposing team. So is that a kind of thing where you just got to go, the whole team has to be punished? Whatever the fallout is, it's something that's applied to the whole team. Do you apply it just to those players? Do those players get kicked off the team? Like, how generally do the governing bodies over those sort of things that you guys play in, do they rule on that? Do they rule on addressing individuals, or do they say, nope, whole team gets punished for something?
I think a lot of times the school would be the one that would levy any kind of ban.
Yeah, they're asking for the superintendent to get involved on this one.
Oh, God.
Because they're both in the same school district. They want the superintendent involved making the ruling on this.
They're in the same school district.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've not seen anything like that, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that we see teams get banned for hazing. That lacrosse team just got banned for hazing.
What'd they do?
They kidnapped somebody at gunpoint.
They didn't shoot him though.
they covered his head with like a bag.
Yeah.
Kidnapped him at gunpoint and then dropped him cross county in the woods.
Did the team win or lose, Bobby?
The team, it does not identify if they won or lost. Like, it's just a regular season game. And so it didn't identify who won that one. It does say some of the fan text reaction here. It said 214. How about the other team have better comebacks? 214. My coworker's son got called boy a few times in Richardson till he let his bat do the clap back.
And that's where you drill somebody.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's high school baseball. Especially
in baseball. Yeah. Especially in baseball. That's the ultimate policing.
Yeah. I think Weaver hit Seager. I saw over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Seager like messed him up mid windup, and Weaver's like, okay, plunk. And he got tossed immediately.
Yeah, I mean,
drill him. Drill the trash talker.
Baseball will police itself. The problem is, you know, when you get at a young age, kids can't really hit you if they want to. They don't have the command. High school, yeah, more
Luka
so.
Luka could
more so. Yes, hit you. Yeah, more so, but not nearly what like they would have at the major league level.
972 says coach is the one that should have put an end to it. So if they didn't, they're the one who has to take the punishment.
Okay, I like that. Mm-hmm. Car poop viral. Car poop on hoods.
Could you imagine, you know, having a doing something where a nickname just sticks to you? Well, let me introduce you to Christina Solometto, a 44-year-old woman from Philadelphia who has been dubbed the Delco Pooper. What a name. She was in a road rage incident, and she decides to get up, get out of the car, and instead of, you know, fighting, throwing hands, she threw feces. She got on the hood, pulled her pants down, and pooped on the hood of the vehicle. After this is the post-poop press conference that she had. This is the Delco
was
Pooper.
There a press conference?
She was in handcuffs, so she was just yelling at the cameras. This is the Delco Pooper, Christina Solometto, after the pooping incident.
Can you tell us what happened?
The lady chased me. She chased me, and I asked her not to attack me.
She chased you?
I have a sickness.
Yeah.
You said she chased you?
Yeah, she chased me. And I got out and begged her to stop.
So was it goes, whiz or was whiz, it?
So, she looks so proud of herself too. She's gonna walk to the car. She's like, "Yep, this is what you get."
She said, "I wanted to punch her in the face, but I pooped on her car instead and went home. It was very clean. Didn't even need to wipe."
Man, is there video of this?
Of the actual poop?
Yeah. You can see not the incident, but you see the aftermath on her hood, and it's disgusting.
Like,
did
she roll up on the hood, like jump up on the hood?
She looks like she has IBS based on what was on the hood.
She said I have issues.
Yeah,
this was talking about internal issues.
This is very clearly like an illness that she just destroyed on this woman's car.
Well, I think that, you know, someone in Garland has an illness as during one of my many days off for paternity leave, which is now officially over. Sitting out there, you know, hey, let's go out, let's grab a pizza, let's take the kids out to this little turf park in Garland, middle of town. Let Ava crawl around, right? Ollie, having a blast. And we're sitting there for about 10, 15 minutes, and all the kids are like gathering on the other side of this park, and they're looking at this humongous snake that is brought out there. And I was like, that's got to be a toy snake. Like, there's no way. No, it was a real, probably like 8-foot snake that was out there, and no one was freaking out. And no one like went nuts. Now, I don't know how many of the parents were like actually looking at it, but all the kids gathering around, I'm like, we're out. Ollie, let's go. We'll get you some ice cream. I'm like, this has to be a rule. This has to be a problem, right? This has to be. Can you just bring a pet snake to a park, to a kid's park? I like wanted to call the police, not let alone animal control.
Right.
And people all responded to me, "Hey, man, rules are different in Garland, man."
I assume that in
humongous snake
2025, it's a emotional support animal.
Oh,
bring him to a park. We saw a guy in Italy that had a meerkat as a pet. I loved it. I want one. I want a meerkat now.
Google says you can bring your snake out in public. Your actual reptile. Yeah, your reptile. You can bring your reptile out in public. There are no laws against it, but it's not always wise.
In public?
Mm-hmm.
But what about
an 8-foot snake?
Come on, man.
I would guess at that point it's just up to the restaurant or the governing body that is overseeing whatever area you're
in. An 8-foot snake could take out a 1-year-old.
What would y'all do? I mean, I was like the only one who picked the kids up and left. Probably, I can't deal with snakes.
I'd probably keep distance. I don't know that I would have left. Although if I didn't want to go in the first place, I would be like, we have to leave.
Yeah.
Look, there's a snake.
Right. There's your out.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the keep distance. Right, because like, seriously, the kids can't. You don't control the kids,
but like, they're all gathering over there. Yeah. So it's like mine's left out. So I want to go look at it, and I'm just like, no, I'm not even dealing with this. Right. So it ruined the whole afternoon.
I did almost leave the media party at the Super Bowl in New Orleans when they had people taking photos of snakes. I didn't like leave, but I definitely left that area. I wasn't going to stand by that snake taking photos with everybody.
Oh, you. Can't be near them like that.
I wouldn't be in the same vicinity, no. And so I could stay at the venue, but I was going to have to leave the immediate area.
Incest taking over the Kentucky Derby. Scotty Scheffler taking over DFW. And the legacy of Greg Popovich and why Bobby couldn't stand him for so long. Everything you need to know to recap the weekend before the commercial-free expressway. And we got some brand new show changes that are going to get started this morning as we get back together again here on Sean and RJ, continuing right here on The Fan.